When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, and welcome back to The Shift. It's Dez here. I'm on my own just for a sec, because I just wanted to give a quick heads up about this episode. It's a fun episode with Matteo Lane, a comedian friend of mine that Katie just met yesterday, and it's kind of it's jumpy at times only because we had a lot of technical issues, okay? So we were organizing to chat with Matteo outside the Comedy Cellar yesterday evening. Matteo was meant to be done at like around 9:30, but everything got delayed, not his fault. And I had a spot at 10:45, so we had a sort of a narrow window. But myself and Katie had recorded the intro before all that, and we were having a great time, but I cut it short because, well, we had more than enough as far as I was concerned, because I thought we would have been, you know, I thought we would have been recording like for an hour with Matteo, but then everything ran out of time, and then Katie had another spot, so we weren't able to meet up again, and I wasn't finished till midnight anyway. I'm still on Irish times in my head, Irish time. So long story short, the chat with Matteo is like 35 minutes. So I just wanted to explain in advance why it was all a bit short. I also had to take out a bit of the Matteo chat because we got very dirty, very dirty. And the consensus was that we would take that out. So this episode's like possibly just a touch shorter than normal, but at the same time, I still think it's super fun. Matteo is a very openly gay comic. And, well, actually, the idea was that we would talk a lot about sort of like the birds and the bees of gay sex. But in actual fact, we just had the crack about whatever. And when we did get into the gay sex stuff, it all got a little bit much. So anyway, long story short, I'm going to hand us, all of us, back to myself and Katie's intro in the car last night. And I'll talk to you at the end of the episode. Well, we're going to have a guest in a while. Matteo Lane, who, great comic. But we haven't done any stuff on, you know, gay sex.
Yeah, I don't even think we touched it on it with... Oh, feck.
Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas. I was literally going to call him Tim.
No.
Thomas, no. Yeah.
Well, that wasn't the vibe. I'm not looking to have a serious conversation with Matteo.
Yeah, cool.
We're not going to be talking about fucking prep.
He'll be serious. He'll be like, and the angle you have to get in, I don't know. Oh, I got too gross. I'm sorry. I was thinking.
you didn't get too gross.
He'll talk about that. Anyway.
So, because he's a comic, you know, I figure we'd just have a bit of crack with it, you know?
Yeah, he'd be good crack.
And he's a funny guy. You met him already, but he was stressing out before his spot, you know?
Yeah, so, but I think I've definitely seen him before. He's really funny.
I know, he's super funny. He was on the Dez Bishop podcast, actually.
Oh, great.
But in that one, we mostly talk about Joan Rivers. He loves Joan Rivers. All the gays love Joan Rivers.
Oh.
So, excuse me, I was having a drink of water there. So, anyway, we had our episode last week.
There's a lot of, you know, it's funny. It's always the weird stuff that gets people interested, you know? So, like, whether men and women should be friends and all that. Like, you get a lot of people messaging back.
Yeah.
Did you get a lot of feedback on it?
Yeah, no, I did actually. So one girl was saying all of her friends are all lads, and she's met the partners, and yeah, most people were saying it's okay unless you're in a long-term relationship and it's a bit iffy and it's a new friend. Most people kind of agreed with what we had said.
Yeah, and I found that
so
too.
So that was good.
Then mixed reports on what the shift is, you know?
Yeah, I got a lot of people agreeing with me, but I guess they're going to send that message to me.
Yes.
So,
not
thanks,
that it matters.
Guys.
We're past the shift now, anyway. We're past the shift in our
Oh,
lives.
You know, I got brought up at New York Comedy Club by, she has a podcast called The Shaft. I thought that was
funny. Somebody brought you up on stage.
Yeah, I mean, like, next up, this comic has a podcast called The Shaft. I was like, isn't Shaft a penis?
Well, it can be, yeah, the penis can be referred to as the shaft. Yeah.
That would be funny if our podcast was called Penis.
You're really entertaining yourself today, Katie.
I think so. I haven't spoken to anybody all day.
That's what you said last week.
Did I?
Are you isolating?
Well, that's because when you do it when you're home in Ireland, it's me waking up time. Well, no, last week... Because I guess it's 3 o'clock. Yeah, well, I had just been in my house waiting for you.
It was three
to call.
It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, I was just going to wait in the house until we did the podcast.
Now we're outside on West 3rd Street. We're in the car. We had to position ourselves near the comedy. I mean, I have a spot later in the comedy cellar myself, but we had to position ourselves nearby because we have to grab Mateo when he gets off stage.
It's raining. I love the rain.
You love the rain?
I do. I love it here. Just reminds me of home. It's nice. And then I don't feel bad when I don't leave my house all day.
Well, I like the rain only because your skin gets so dry here in New York in the winter that it's nice to just get a bit of moisture in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I needed a break. I was like immediately cracking. My skin was cracking all over the place the minute I got off the plane.
Yeah, my skin started to get weird dry spots on my head, so I like the rain.
I know. I'm in the middle of getting some dry spots on my head too. What's going on?
I don't know.
I don't want to have dandruff. You know?
No.
It's funny. I put on Instagram that my skin was dry, and then you get like 100 messages. What you need to do is this. What you need to do is that. It's like, I know how to fucking moisturize my face. I'm just saying that it's dry right now.
Yeah.
So, we were chatting about. Oh, you brought up the anxiety of hitting on people, and then you were motivated.
Oh my God, the episode was so good. It motivated me. I have two stories. First story, I asked the guy out that I was nervous about asking out, and he said yes, so I was delighted, and then he cancelled on me.
So what happened? So you asked the guy out.
I'd slipped into the DMs, yeah. I was like,
oh, you slid into the DMs?
Yeah, it's just easier, because that way they can just reject you, and it's casual, and it's fine. And I was like, do you want to grab a drink this weekend? And he was like, yeah, let's do it when you're free. And then I was like, I don't know, Friday or Saturday. And then he was like, cool, I'm free Friday. We'll go to this place. And he picked a place and everything. And then he cancelled 24 hours before. But something came up, so it's fine. But
what came up?
Like a work thing. But he didn't reschedule. He wasn't like...
Uh-huh.
You know, where I was, I think he might have just changed his mind. Because I think if he was interested, he'd be like, oh, but we could do lunch on Saturday or Sunday. But he was just like, oh, I won't actually be good this weekend. And I was like, that's grand. Have a good weekend.
He probably just didn't want to be a subject of the podcast.
Yeah, maybe his friend listened to this. I was like... But now that we haven't gone on the date, I'm going to talk about it. So it's fine. I'm just glad that I asked out. Like, that's the thing. Like, obviously as well, like, if he had he wouldn't be a subject of the podcast. I know how to keep private things private. I hope. But the point was to ask to do it and just not. And it's grand. Like, you know, it wasn't as stressful as I thought it would be.
No, I wouldn't have thought it'd be stressful. Well, it's a pity he cancelled.
Yeah, well, sure, look, do you know, these things happen. And
sure, look.
And if you have a busy weekend and everybody's so busy in New York, you can't really, like, that's it. You just kind of have to just roll with it.
Yeah, it's just annoying because all the, it was kind of like almost like a setup.
What do you mean?
Well, because all the friends have been chatting, you guys, you know.
Well, that's what I mean. And that's why I was nervous asking him, because I was like, oh, it just felt like something... that, you know, it felt like a little pressure, but it was actually exciting, and it was exciting waiting for the reply. And yeah, and look, at least he said yes. At least he didn't say no outright. And then,
I mean, I honestly thought that this in a couple of weeks we were going to be talking about how you were in a serious relationship.
Yeah.
I started to project.
Oh, that's okay.
I did.
But that's okay. Well, the thing is, because when he cancelled, I was like, yeah, it's a legitimate excuse. But then I was also like, but if you're interested, you'd be like, well, we'll reschedule. And he didn't say that. So, but you never know what will happen.
Yeah, I mean, I've had cancellations, and then you feel like it's genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he should have kept it up. Well, fuck that guy then. Well, no more messages. It's on him now.
Oh, well, this is it. I just said, have a good weekend. And that was it. He didn't respond to my last message. So, do you know?
Oh, yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, and it's fine.
Good luck.
I just wanted to have the balls. But I actually worked out really well, because then on Saturday night, I went out with I had two shows, and then I was nearly not going to go out with the girls. But I was like, do you know what? I just want to go out. And they were going to this cover band place, and I went and I was having a great time just dancing, and then this group of guys were dancing with us, and there was one guy and he was just like in the middle having the best crack, and I was like, I'm going for him. So when we went over to the bar, he insisted on buying me a drink, and I was like, well, if you're going to buy me a drink, then maybe you should kiss me. And I was like,
you did not.
I did, I swear to God. Oh, and he started laughing.
I think I have tinnitus.
Oh, from me.
There's a ringing in my ear.
What does that mean?
You were so high there.
I'm sorry. I just think the episode gave me so much confidence. The episode gave me so much confidence. So, but he laughed at me. So.
So what happened?
Well, he was like, "Oh yeah, you're joking," and I was like, "No, I was serious." And then I was like, "Oh," and then he said a line, but it's a really nice line. It's better than the other line. He said, "No, you're too pretty to want to kiss me," and then I go, "Is that a line? Because it just worked."
So did you kiss?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Right then and there.
Yeah.
You started making out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When he realized I wasn't joking, and then he was like,
nice.
"Oh," and then he always told sweetheart. He was like, My bag was in the middle of all of us dancing, but someone like spilled a drink on it, so I like lifted it up, but it was fine hard to dance with it. So he was like, here, give it to me. So he like danced with my bag the whole night. And I thought that was kind of nice that he didn't care what people looking at him or whatever. He was just sweet, and he didn't like try anything on after he left. He like took my number, and he came up to the bar the next day, and we hung out on Sunday, and he came to my show. And look, it's...
What happened then?
He lives in a different place. He lives in LA, so...
Oh, he's it was gone just, now?
He'll be gone tomorrow morning. Yeah, it's just, it was just a whirlwind romance. So, but we spent, you know, and then I went back to his friend's house after my late spot last night, and I stayed up with him and his friends, and that's why I didn't sleep a lot last night.
But, you got late again?
No. I was with his friends, and he just walked me home. He was a complete gentleman. He walked me home, and then he was gone, and it was grand. And that's what I wanted. He got laid again. She's only had sex with two people this year.
Yeah, I know, but you just had a recent...
I know. Shh, we forget about that.
No, that's fine. Listen, I mean, this guy had to re-download all his apps on his phone.
I know.
what an inconvenience. In one night stand with Katie, you got to re-download all your apps.
It was funny, though, because with this guy's lovely. His mom's Irish. His mom's from Ireland.
This LA guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All of his friends, like, I'd already kissed him, but they didn't see. And all of his friends are coming up to me, like, when I would be alone, being like, oh, you know, they would say his name, and then they would say these great things about him. And then eventually, when the fourth friend came up to me, I was like, do you guys not already know that I already kissed him? And they were like, oh, no, we've been trying to sell him to you. Oh, never mind. So, like, his friends all had his back.
And who's the mutual? Like, what's the...
So there was a guy there who just moved here, and I guess I got talking to him at the bar. And then I was
these are just random guys.
Yeah, I was like, this big group of girls, like, come dance with us, because I was the only one fucking dancing. So then they came over and they were dancing, and I was like, just... mental dancing, and then this guy that I ended up smooching was mental dancing too. So we were the only ones that were sober. Everybody else was hammered. He doesn't really drink that much, so.
And you were just making out at the bar like teenagers?
Yeah, and then we went back to dancing, and then we had another makeout set. We all we done the whole weekend was just kiss, smooching, shifting.
He never grabbed your boobs?
Grabbed my arse at one stage, but that was like last night when he like left me at the door, when he kissed me goodbye, grabbed my arse and he was gone.
Really?
It's nice though. I like it. I like, you know me, I like slow builds. So,
yeah, that's real slow.
But
that's great.
Oh, he's lovely. And he's like, he was like, well, look, we'll just stay in contact. And sure, you never know. Like, I might be in LA sometime and have a friend.
You never know.
And yeah, when he's back in New York, he has a friend here. So.
What does he do?
Oh, movies. He's a stand-in. He was a stand-in for James Franco and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
That's a good sign.
Production. He's starting his own.
Good-looking guy?
Yeah. He's good looking. He's not super tall, but he's good looking. He's really cute.
Not as good looking as James Franco?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I think so. I think he's like exactly...
So you shifted James Franco's stand-in.
I think he's exactly... Well, he's exactly what I would be attracted to. Like, usually it was funny because it was like... Usually I like tall guys, but then I was like, oh, I must really like this guy because he could get shorter and I wouldn't mind. He was like just very attractive.
But he's taller than you though, right?
Oh, yeah. He's like 5'9". I'm 5'6".
Nice.
And he came to my bar and he was like talking to my manager and like very sweet. And they like asked him, could they take a photo of him to put on the Instagram page? But like most people would be like, fuck off, no. They'd be mortified. And he was like, yeah, of course. Like just very easygoing, very... relaxed and came to my show and was talking to everybody at New York.
The good ones always live somewhere else.
I know, it's not typical. And he's very nomadic. He travels around a lot, which I do as well, and very artsy. Loads of, like animation, makes animations and stuff. It's really the perfect guy, and he lives 8 hours away. So
it's not 8 hours away.
He said it's 8 hours by plane.
Well, you know, if you include driving to the airport.
Oh, no, you're wrong. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. You're right. I said to him, it's 8 hours away, and he said, no, it's 5. Yeah, sorry. Oops. Oh, but oh my God. Wait, for everybody listening, he told me this great thing. Okay, can I do it to you? Just 3 questions. Can I ask you them? Okay, just, Dez is looking at me really weird.
Well, no, I just wondered for everybody listening. Like,
okay, wait, because he's a Buddhist. So what's your favorite color?
My favorite color?
Just answer it and we'll get to it. What's your favorite
Blue.
Color? Okay, what's your favorite animal?
Dolphin.
Why? Oh, wait. Sorry, I was meant to ask why. Why blue?
Ugh, I don't fucking know,
oh,
Katie.
Oh, fuck you. Okay. It doesn't matter then. I'm not playing. Okay, well, then what's your favorite thing about nature?
I the ocean.
Okay, we'll go back to dolphin. Anyway, the animal you pick is the type of person you want to be with. I just thought it was great because I picked...
What the fuck? That has nothing to do with fucking Buddhism. That's just some bullshit that this guy... Like,
I thought it was great.
The animal's the type of person you want to be with. What, slippery and wet?
Yeah
I want a big fucking wet, slippery, smooth fucking woman.
You want an all shape... You say you want pubes, but you want all shaved, slippery dolphin.
Yeah. What a fucking... Jesus Christ.
Sorry, I thought it was a great game. I was doing it with all my friends all day. I thought the podcast listeners would like it.
Why blue? Because it's a fucking nice color.
Because it's calm. You like to be
who
calm.
Who says
he's not
calm?
He's not calm at all.
Who says
oh
it's
God.
Calm? Who decided blue is calm?
Oh, well, blue is not your color, Des. Fucking.
Who said? No, but
electric blue is your color.
Who said blue is calm? Who decided blue was calm?
I decided until I met you.
Wait, no, what's your favorite color?
Yellow, because it's bright and I'm bright, motherfucker.
All right. She's been practicing.
And cat is my animal because cats are, they're like, you know, want attention, but they don't want attention all the time. That's perfect for me. I want you to come over sometimes, but then go away.
Oh, right.
And then they're like, they pick the one person they like and they're not like fucking off with other people. So.
And this guy brought this whole new aspect of Buddhism into your life.
It's great. I'm going to be a Buddhist, lads.
Fucking cat Buddhism.
Yeah. Cat Buddhism. Oh God.
Where did he get that from? Any idea?
A Buddhist monk.
Told him what's your favorite color?
I love it. I think it's a great game.
You've been getting a lot of Buddhism out of this podcast.
Are we getting a lot of Buddhism?
Yeah.
Have I?
Yeah, the Muddy Waters Buddhism too.
Yeah, Joe. And I watched a movie the other day with Buddhism. James Franco was a Buddhist in it, actually, ironically.
He also has a ton of dubious allegations against him, too, just so you know.
No, I know. I heard the man telling me some stuff.
Oh, the man told you?
Well, he was just like, he's not.
What's James Franco's favorite color? What's his favorite animal? A fucking, a wolf.
Yeah, right? Probably a snake.
Oh,
Jesus. But... Yeah, so that's it. Des, we should move to LA. Let's do the podcast over there.
No interest in moving to LA.
I mean, people say not nice stuff about it. I am
going. It's fine. It's just too far. It's impractical for me. It's nothing to do with any problem with LA. It's just that I live a bi-coastal life and I don't need to add an extra 5 hours of flying.
Yeah, you'd be tri-coastal then. So that makes sense. But yeah, it's so far from Ireland. I thought about LA a few years ago. And I was like, actually, it's just so far from Ireland.
It's far, yeah. It's different too. Plus, you haven't done any acting, have you?
Well, I just started doing a little bit and I kind of like it.
Well, it's all about the acting over there, Katie.
Yeah, but I just love stand-up way more, obviously. So, and, you know, I'm happy here. Things are going well. Like, I like New York Comedy Club, so... But definitely going to visit LA at some stage. A lot of my friends live out there.
Oh, yeah, you should definitely go.
Yeah.
Well, let's stop talking because we're going to introduce Mateo.
Yes.
And I'm conscious of the fact that we're just waiting for Mateo so we could just yap away. But I also don't want to have too much to edit afterwards.
Are you sure? Because I've got loads more Buddhist stuff. More Buddhist questions.
Go ahead. Ask me another Buddhist question.
I'm only joking. I don't have it.
Ask me another Buddhist question.
I don't have any. I was just messing with you. I have no more Buddhisms. All I know is Buddhists, they only grab your arse. It's grand.
Yeah.
I know.
He was very conscious of that.
I know. It's great.
Probably gay.
You know what? You're the second person who said that.
No, I'm only joking. You know, I say that all the time.
You are, because when he met my New York Comedy Club friends, he told one of the lads his hair was nice, and he was like, I think you're a beard. I was like, I'm not. It's nice to compliment someone's hair. It doesn't mean they're gay.
No.
Yeah.
It's just the sort of four meetings, only kissing. That's more what I was basing it on.
Yeah, but I guess when... Not four meetings. Well, oh, technically, because it was technically three, but there was space in between. Yeah, well, where were we going to go? Well, you're right, yeah, we could have done it last.
But I don't think he's... I'm kidding.
No, I know. But...
But somebody else said it?
Yeah, just as a joke as well. You know, people love trying to wind me up.
Do they?
Yeah, they're just, you know, Casey, she'll believe anything.
Like... That fucking what's your favorite color, what's your favorite animal, some deep Buddhist shit.
Here, I have the girls on WhatsApp now and they're sending me their favorite colors and their favorite animals and their favorite places in nature.
Sure, man. That sure. Fucking lights up the internet, all that fucking
lads, pseudo, it's a great day question.
Pseudo-spirituality.
There'll be a lot of podcast listeners now and they'll be doing
Tell
that
me five things about yourself. Fuck off.
I liked it though because I thought it was spot on with my answer, so I was very proud of myself.
Well, anyway, we're going to get Mateo. We're going to have Mateo in the car soon, so... as an intro to Mateo, Mateo is an awesome stand-up comic based here in New York, from Chicago originally, and he's good crack now. I've had him on the Des Bishop podcast, but we've been stuck in Vegas together twice, actually, doing the Comedy Cellar over there. So we've had many good chats, and he's good crack when he gets going about the gay sex, you know.
Nice. I'm excited.
You can ask him like a lot of shit you didn't know about that side of the world.
No, this is great, actually.
So, load up the questions in your brain.
Okay, I'm starting.
And we'll be back when he's in the car.
Io.
Wow, that was really sexy.
Grazie, molto grazie.
He speaks Italian.
Wow.
Sono italiano.
So you really, really speak Italian?
Yeah. What do you think? I just said pizza?
I don't know.
I had my cousins from Sicily in town, and so I told my friend, do you want to come with and get lunch with us? And he was like, sure. And then my cousin's wife doesn't speak any English, so I only spoke to her in Italian. He was like, oh, you actually speak Italian. I was like, what did you think I meant when I said I speak Italian? Well, I don't know. I didn't know you actually spoke it. I'm like...
Yeah, it's such a weird thing to say.
Yeah, it's such a weird... I'm like, so all this time you thought I was just like, ciao, I'm fluent. Because it does remind me of those assholes, you know, Americans. They go to England for like 4 days and come back. They're like, let's get on the tube. The train. So, guys, I was traveling. You know, like, they're just so culturally... We can turn the heat down a little bit.
Sorry, Mateo. Jesus.
I'm going to get really hot.
I'm going to tell him you're gay. You don't have to be a fucking diva.
My voice. What other straight guys interested in learning Italian?
So, Mateo has literally just walked off stage from singing Mariah Carey.
Mm-hmm.
This is for our listeners, of course, not for you.
Mm-hmm.
We started, by the way. I think you know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're getting you at a good time. High energy time.
Yes. Well, although I don't quite get... It's been a while since I've gotten off stage and had like that rush. I kind of just get on and off stage just like I was, you know, same energy. Nothing changes really.
Yeah, but that was a ripper though. I mean, you really did kill it. Especially the intro to All I Want for Christmas.
Like the jokes?
No, I didn't see
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. Guys, it's just the natural, it's my natural way.
It's just your natural talent.
It is my natural talent.
But you really own it. I mean, you're an awesome comic, but sometimes when I see you singing, I feel like that's your...
Well, that was the goal. Originally, my goal was to be a singer. I wanted so badly to be a famous singer, and it didn't happen. I became a comic. It was easier for me to become a comic than it was for me to become a singer.
But now you can do both.
I am doing both. I do a monthly show now at Joe's Pub, and I tour that. I do, like, it's a jazz show, basically. But I just get to sing and tell jokes in between. The jokes, telling the jokes has helped me have confidence. Because singing is way more vulnerable, and it's kind of uncomfortable. I don't know what to do with my body, my hands. Now I've been doing this show for 2 years. Like, I'm so comfortable. I don't care that I'm moving my hands and look like a complete faggot. Like, I just love it. I'm living for it. Yeah, I love it. I love singing it. Yeah. I love it. So, yeah, but now with singing, I'm like, I don't care. What are they? You know, I'm already gay. They're all going to make fun of me. I might as well sing to my heart's content.
Yeah, it's great. Fantastic. I think you're a natural singer, personally.
Oh, unbelievable.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's funny that you think it's more vulnerable.
Well, because I think on stand-up, you kind of go on stage, you're using your jokes as a weapon. So anything that's, like, easy to make fun of about me, I use that as a weapon. So I'm like, haha, joke. I already got the joke. Like, I'm going in an attack mode with stand-up. Singing, you go in more vulnerable. It's just like an open mode. You're like, okay, I'm going to sing this song. And I like singing a specific way, and some people don't like certain sounds, but I'm just going to sing this way and feel it this way. It's hard to, like, dig into a song and allow your body to sort of, because the more comfortable you get on stage with stand-up, the more your body moves naturally. Well, singing's the same way. The way your body moves on stage is sort of follows the music. So at first I was, like, stiff, like I was in a straitjacket, and I wasn't able to sing the way I sing alone in my car. And I'm like, I have to get comfortable enough on stage so that however I sing in my car, I'm doing for this crowd. So
That's
that
amazing.
I eventually got there. But it took 2 years to get that comfortable.
If I did that, people would leave. You're like naturally good. You can actually
But singing
sing.
Is also too, like, I think singing is something too, it's like, there are people who you can train and train and train, you'll still sound like shit. It's something you're naturally born with, but you have to work at it. Like, yeah. I went through like 7 or 6 years of operatic training and breathing and learning little operettas and learning embellishments and then practicing on my own and pushing myself and pushing my vocal range and keeping it up.
You've quite the range.
Yeah, you're like deep and then high. I was like,
what's your lowest note?
My lowest? No. Well, I've been working my voice up really high. I'm a very low singer. I'm a bass. And then I have whistle tones. My lowest? I don't know.
No,
that's
definitely
there.
The lowest range this
but
podcast
my,
has ever
but
experienced.
When you work your voice up really high, like I was singing, I'm stretching my vocal cords, so my lower notes are like not as strong.
What's the highest you can go before falsetto?
That's probably like a B sharp. No, that's my falsetto.
That's me when I say hello.
Yeah, that's falsetto.
That's Katie hello. When she's excited.
Sometimes I hurt Des's ears when I tell a story.
Only because I have the headphones in, you know?
Yeah, then all the listeners too.
So Mateo, this is a sex and dating podcast.
Work. I just went through a breakup, so this is perfect timing.
Yeah, so.
I just got let back on Grindr. I was banned from Grindr.
Why were you banned from Grindr?
Because I said, you're banned from Grindr for using Mateo Lane's, for comedian Mateo Lane's photos.
So you got banned for being yourself.
Yeah, I was like, but I am Mateo. So Grindr follows me on Instagram. So I messaged him. I was like, hi, I was banned from Grindr, but it's actually me. They're like, we'll lift the ban. They were really funny about it. So I got it back. I got it back this afternoon. But I'm not interested in sex right now. I went through, there's like a phase after you break up. Right after you break up, there's this rebellious phase. So you're like, now I can fuck who I want. I mean, I say that, but I'm such a prude. But, you know, and then after you kind of, like, a couple weeks of that, you're like, oh, I'm feeling empty, and now I miss my ex-boyfriend. Now I feel like I haven't learned how to detach from him. And so I'm going through, like, the melancholy phase. So I'm very, not sad, that's not the right word, but I'm just like, I don't want to have sex. I don't want to engage in that because I'm trying to heal. So that's
yeah, even though, even though you kind of picked at the scab on that one.
I did, but we got back together and ended amicably in a way. I mean, we still are in contact with each other. It's not bad. Like, I still love him.
Yeah, it was
I
just like
him.
A little.
I'll put it this way: long distance. He lives in Spain, and geographically and financially, it doesn't make sense for us to date right now.
Yeah,
it's too hard to be. And my schedule's insane, and you were living different, you know, we just agreed we would resume our own lives. And so I hope that it gets to a point where we can make it work. Meaning I have to become rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And get on a private jet and not worry
you'll
about money.
You'll marry him so you can get a visa.
Yeah, that would be
great. So he's from Spain.
Well, he's from I don't want to say too much about him.
Oh, sorry.
He actually said, don't talk about me anymore.
Okay, I won't talk. We won't talk about him. But
he lives in Spain, yeah.
So...
Let me, first of all, just because you mentioned Grindr, is the stereotype about Grindr true that it's mostly just like a hookup site?
Well, yeah. I mean, no one's going on there like, you know, who wants to get a rum and diet and chat? I think Grindr, Grindr came from Manhunt. Well, it's a huge evolution how Grindr got to where it is, right? So, like, gays have always had ways of finding each other.
Yeah.
In the early aughts, maybe late 90s, I would say more early aughts, there was a website called Manhunt, which was essentially the same thing. You know, you put up a profile picture, a location, but you had to be on your computer to use it.
Right, okay.
So Grindr was what brought it to Y2K, where they made it location-based, but on your phone. So once you get the iPhone, right now you can sort of see where people are. It shows you how far someone is by the foot.
It was like,
you know, like this person's 48 feet away. Suddenly you feel like you're in the movie Alien. You're like, where are they? They're in the ceiling. But
right from the get-go with the Manhunt thing, it was basically find a guy to hook up with.
I would say it's heavily leaned on sexual encounter.
Because like with Tinder, it's like, oh God, they sent me a dick pic. With Grindr, you
can't
send
pictures on Tinder, can you?
Oh, you can't anymore. You're right. You used to be able to.
Tinder is child's play. If you see gay people on Tinder, they're looking for marriage.
Okay.
You see straight people on Tinder, they're looking to fuck. It's so backwards.
Oh, Jesus. But it's like pretty, you guys send dick pics pretty quickly on Grindr, right? That's what my friend told me, it's like opening messages.
It depends. Yeah, it depends on what. I don't send dick pics, but I will usually just write like, hi, how are you?
Oh, that's great.
But sometimes you get like messages.
But you send pics of your abs though, right?
If it gets to that point, when I first got on Grindr, I was like 25. I was late in the game. When I was 25, I was in that mode. I was like, if I want this guy to like me, just send him my asshole. And now I'm like, okay, Mateo, like, you know, you love yourself a little more. Just how are you? Like, I'm not so interested in, you know, growing up Catholic. We all understand this.
That's what this podcast is.
Now I'm the most Catholic because I am Irish and I'm Italian and I am Mexican. So what I call the trifecta of Catholicism.
The holy trinity of Catholicism.
Oh, the fact that it's raining right now, I'm like, it's probably something I did.
Yeah.
Like, it's my fault.
It's your fault.
And I have major hang-ups with sex sometimes. I really have
you still have that.
I get weird with sex, like, in terms of, like, I have, like, my few, like, hookups that I go to, and I feel really comfortable with them. Mm-hmm. But, like, just a random hookup, I'm so envious of, I have friends who are like, I had sex with this guy, that guy, I had, like, a foursome. I'm just so, like, I was at home watching the Golden Girls. Like, I'm just I'm like Mariah Carey. I talk a lot about sex, but I don't know if I actually enjoy it all the time.
Interesting.
You're me.
Yeah.
But you know,
but when I'm in a relationship,
you'll be wild then. No, I completely understand. It's
Madonna, a Madonna in the kitchen and a tiger in the sheets. Although that doesn't really work now because Madonna's such a whore. It's just you're a Madonna in the kitchen and a Madonna in the bedroom. I just thought of that. I can't believe no one ever thought of that.
Write that down.
I should write that down.
You didn't get to do new jokes tonight because the schedule
got
all fucked
down.
Up.
God.
Now you got a new joke.
This is your new jokes.
I'm a Madonna in the bedroom. Can people stop sending Christmas cards? It's enough already. I have 28 first cousins, and all of them insist on sending Christmas cards. And they're just texting her now. Is this still your address? I talk to you every single day, and I follow you on Instagram. Stop it. I open them up in the trash. I live in a studio. Where am I going to keep Christmas cards?
Oh, no, it's fine.
What was I writing down? Oh, Madonna in the sheets and Madonna in the bedroom.
Madonna in the sheets, Madonna in the bedroom. You also called Madonna a whore, but you're not concerned about that.
Well, am I wrong? Joan Rivers used to just say she had a vagina that said had an IUD in it, or IOU in it or something. I forget.
IUD?
Madonna. Who knows? Anyways, I'm sorry. I'm taking control of this podcast.
No, that's great.
Please do,
oh my God,
Mateo. You know, you're the guest.
Yeah,
I know, but I won't
so
ever
happy.
Shut up.
I know, but it's great because we wanted to talk to you about...
Well, what do you
want?
No,
I was going to say, we wanted to talk to you about just like gay stuff because we haven't actually discussed anything gay.
Right.
And you couldn't be any gayer right now. Not just in talking about gay stuff, but you're bitching. You're doing the whole thing. I mean, you're fucking... You're bringing it to life.
There's a mix of my Italian background and gay. They're very similar in terms of like, you know, the drama, you know, my Uncle Mike is straight as you can possibly get, but he's just as dramatic.
So a gay first date versus what you perceive to be a straight first date.
Yeah.
Are there any big differences?
Well, you know, we usually both bring our sundresses and our dildos to the date, and it's usually...
You're joking.
Duh. No, what are you talking about?
No, I'm just...
A proper date?
Yeah.
Not a hookup.
No, I'm talking about a date.
Oh, a date's a date.
A date's a date.
And I'm not poking fun at you, but I do love that straight people are like, so when the gays date, what do they do? It's like, well, we first do Molly, and then we rip off our shirts and put on our... No, you go on a date. I have not been on a date in a long time.
Why not?
Because I've been on the road. I've had a boyfriend for 2 years. So,
Mateo, you broke up with him so long ago.
No, we got back together.
Yeah, but that was only recent, right?
Dude, we've been together since June. We broke up last month.
Oh, you were back together since June?
Mm-hmm.
Were you keeping that on the down low?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Interesting. You lied to me.
I didn't lie to you, but...
You were together when you were in Vegas.
No, when were we in Vegas together?
Oh, no, that was May. Okay, so
right,
it was
we were
after
not
Vegas.
Together.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
Well, my friend, he gives me advice of what I should say to straight guys, but he says it works with gay guys on the first night, but I know that it wouldn't work with a straight guy. So
like
it's definitely.
What kind of advice
well,
for
he
what?
Told me, he was like, oh, when you have sex with a guy for the first time, you should be like, ooh, daddy, that's so big, daddy. It's like, I don't think that would work with.
Is your friend also like in a porn, like a softcore porn?
I don't know, the daddy thing
can be hot, but you have to be with the right person. Because, you know, one time I was like, this guy wanted to role play, and I'm not a role play person. I'm a comic. We all have that. I can't suspend myself from belief. Yeah. I'm like, no, like, you're not a coach. You're an accountant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not into role play either. But, yeah. I mean, would you respect somebody who wanted to try it?
Yeah, it depends on what they want me to do. You know, I can't go that far. I like the idea of, like, submission, and all that stuff sounds like it could be fun. But it's more fun to talk about. Like, the things I've said on Grindr would make your skin peel off. But, like, that's why I say Grindr should be called Broken Promises, because it's just... No one gives a shit. We're all just like, I'll do this and that. And then you meet each other and you're like, we watched an episode of Charmed. I mean, that's that. I went home with a magic mic dancer from the Vegas show, which is like a big production. It's a big show. It's really hot. And we got there and before we fucked, which he was great, but he also like threw me out right away. He was like, do you want to watch an episode of Charmed? And I was like, I guess so. We watched 3 episodes of Charmed.
Before?
Before we had sex. And by the 3rd episode, I'm like, okay, I don't care about these witches.
He must have been Catholic, too. He needs 3 episodes of Charmed to get comfortable.
He's building up, yeah.
Maybe that's true, yeah. That is true.
Well, like, so any of my friends who are gay, they say that they'll fuck pretty quickly before they'll invest. Whereas I feel like, for me, I like to, you know, I like to wait a little while. Do you know, you're saying that you kind of like to wait as well. You like to build up trust, is it?
Oh, no, I didn't say that.
Oh, never mind.
I think it's more common. You have to be very careful how you speak, because you don't want to sound
don't
like...
Don't generalize either.
Well, we're only having the crack. True.
We're only having the crack. So
what does it mean, a crack?
Dude, we're only having fun.
Fun. Like, nothing we say is we're just being like,
we're
okay, well, this is a stereotype.
We're having the crack.
Whitney Houston, a little too much crack.
Crack.
I've never done crack, but I have crack.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What'd you say?
Oh, that it's okay, because we're not saying it's fact. We're just being like, oh, is
right,
that...
Right, right, right. I have
do you
to stop
feel
being so
that
little.
Way?
I think it's more common that gays have sex before they consider dating. I've said, but it depends on the situation. Like, I met my ex through Instagram, and he was so far, we had to talk to each other for like a month, and then we started falling in love. And so when we had sex, it was like, oh, we cried, and we had to leave. Oh, it was so dramatic. But I think, like, I'm talking to a guy right now who lives like an hour away. He's in grad school, so he's older, and
in grad school.
Yeah, like grad school, like school after college after college.
Like master's.
Thank
but when
you
say he's older, you mean he's
like
not
he's not 18.
Oh,
he's
right,
like in his mid-20s, later 20s.
But he's younger than you.
Oh, well, now everyone's young. I'm 33. That's the thing. It's like
33.
Yeah.
You look great. Well, I guess
how old
33
I look?
Is young. But I thought you were like 25, 26.
Oh, I'll take it. Maybe that's the Italian in me. Because Italian eyes are all like kind of doe eyes, you know? And we kind of always look a little more youthful because we always look like we're... about to fall asleep, but I get worried now, because I'm like, I'm 33, I'm happy that I'm not my... It's too stressful to be in your 20s, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Especially being gay, and like, am I supposed to go to a club, am I supposed to do drugs, am I supposed to look like this, am I supposed to do that, who am I supposed to fuck, what about that? It's just so good. Now
so
I'm 30,
much stress.
Mm-hmm. So much stress. Well, because I think gays come out of the closet, you know, usually, at least my generation, 18, 20 years old. And so we're playing catch up. We didn't get to date in middle school and have all that fun. So now we want to have our fun. So we're 21 and yeah, we're going to go out. We're going to party. We're going to have a good time. And, you know, I think it's great. But also I never was that kind of, that's where I relate to Hannah Gatsby, where she was like, do they have the pride for, like, you know, the quiet people? Like,
oh yeah, the quiet gays.
Right, because that's kind of how I am. Like, pride for me would be sitting at a diner talking about Judy Garland and how great she was. That's all I need. You know, but I understand everyone has to express themselves in different ways, but I think in terms of, like, dates and sex and stuff like that, I think gays probably have a, we over-sexualize ourselves for sure, and I think some try and validate, including myself, the attention and the gaze of another man based off sex. Like, oh, that if I fuck this guy or this guy wants to fuck me, now I feel better about myself. It's this weird toxic cycle. And so right now I'm like, well, I'm 33, I'm getting older, and I don't want to feel that way anymore, but I'm definitely going to the gym and trying to look good, you know, making my hair look fucking good. I can't wait to get that surgery to fill it in.
The surgery?
Well, right now my hair is like, it's not falling, I'm not going bald, but it's thinning, just like very slightly, but
you're trying,
like,
to stay ahead of the game.
Right.
Oh, because you have a big head of hair.
Yes, a lot of it's lies. This is called, there's like that spray stuff or whatever that makes parts that look darker.
Wow! Yeah.
And people on, whenever I take a picture of me, I don't Photoshop anything but my hair. And people will be like, wow, your hair looks great. And I'll be like, it's Photoshopped.
But see, there, straight away, there's a difference between a straight guy and a gay guy. I don't think straight guys are admitting that.
I don't think straight guys notice. The straight men do not notice. It's very easy to be straight. In every sense of the way. But straight guys get away with so much, like the way they look, the way they act. Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like a spoiled child in a sense. You know what I mean? Like, everything is kind of like, that's why gays are always a little more colorful, is because we're kind of in this, like, upward battle our whole lives.
It's so true. You'll have some, like,
I'm not saying that like I'm woke and all that. I'm just saying, like,
no, but I just
straight guys often look like, oh, could you at least put on a shirt?
I know. I think gay men have the same pressure as women. Let's say, like, if it is a straight man, he could be like bald and maybe like a bit of a beer belly and whatever, but then there's still that pressure on the woman to have shaved her legs. And I think gay men experience that a
whack
lot.
Wax that pussy.
Yeah,
as
like,
they have, like,
but you're like,
where's that pressure coming from? Coming from,
I think, from everyone.
Yeah.
I think it's the thing to worry about your hair. I think it's so within the culture of just, like, actually, you know, they blamed a lot of our beauty. I watched this great documentary on Netflix called Civilizations Through Art. Maybe that's what it was called. And they talk about, because every different civilization over time has had different representations of what they consider beauty. And a lot of it's female, right? Because obviously female body, the gay, you know, so a lot, like, certain cultures, it just giant breasts and big butts, like, that was considered beauty. Or certain cultures, it was but the Greeks, the way that they got the bodies proportionalized, that's RuPaul's Drag Race word, were so, like, legendary. I mean, I'm using, like, gay words for this, but it was just so iconic that we're still stuck in Greek proportions of the human body and standards of beauty. And so a lot of the Western culture and how we view beauty in magazines and makeup and faces and bodies and how we're supposed to look stems from the Greeks. So I blame the Greeks.
I blame the Greeks too.
But the Greeks, man, you walk through.
But the Greeks and the Romans were open enough to homosexuality though, right?
Well, yeah, they were having a good time.
Yeah. No,
They're drinking wine and fucking, but they're also shitting next to each other
and then eating again.
Yeah, that was the Romans. Romans,
my God.
Leave it up to the Italians, the Greeks to do it right, and then the Romans to take it too far. You know, the Italians, we take everything too far. Troppo lontano. I'm sorry, I'm talking and I'm probably not answering any questions.
No, the questions are fine. No, it's just that when I, the original question, which was about a first date, you kind of dismissed my question as in straight guys, but actually, if the question is, it's exactly the same, then that is the answer.
You can only know
if you ask.
Although, like, who pays? Like, if you're a top, I guess you pay. You know.
Yeah, well, that was my next question.
No,
is, how do you get into all that?
I think you just split the bill. I think men are like, whatever. Or sometimes someone will grab it, you know. But I think a date's a date. Let's pick a place. Let's go out. Maybe we'll get a drink afterwards. And then if it goes well, then you end up at their place or not, or, you know.
Can I be really ignorant? And
please.
Okay, good. So top.
I hope I'm not coming off as like a woke whatever. Des, you know I'm not like. You Mateo, said the wrong, you know.
Yeah, okay, well.
That is not a concern of mine.
Okay.
So top and bottom. So.
Top and bottom. I love your accent.
No, so people are always saying that and I'm always like,
Oh, you're not sure?
Well, so if what do most people just pick one that they are, or could you be both?
It's very similar to Hogwarts, where you sit down and then there's a wizard, and you go up and the wizard will tell you top, bottom, or verse.
What, top, bottom, or what?
Verse. No, I think it's just whatever. I think a lot of it just happens to... I would say in most relationships, usually there's flip-flopping. So,
oh,
like,
that's
you'll top, you bottom. But I'm much more of a bottom, only because I don't have, like, top energy. Like, I don't have, like, this...
Top energy.
Bottom is where you're bending over, right?
Well, it depends on the day.
The bottom is receiving.
Yeah, sorry, thank you.
My penis
is
going inside my asshole.
That's great. That's great.
And... Well, I think it's just kind of like whatever way naturally you've leaned to. I think there's no rhyme or reason. It's just whichever you prefer. I know guys who are super gay and, hey, girl, and, you know, like me, and they're tops, right? So it doesn't have to do with who's more femme and who's more masculine and all that stuff. It just kind of is like whatever you prefer. Really,
and you found that naturally, right? Over time,
I would say, yeah, and especially when you start having sex and you discover what you like and what you don't like. I mean, you know, no one gave me the talk about the bees and the bees, so like I had to figure out everything on my own.
Which is another that must be a difficult thing being a gay guy. You really have to sort of figure everything out in the shadows for yourself. You
right,
know, it's not like you're sitting around with the guys in school being like, you know what, I love, you know.
Right,
you're
guys
not having
be like,
that, right?
You can always tell the gay guy because there's like five guys talking like, I fucked your pussy, I did this, and then the one gay guy who's like, yeah, we just like made out.
It's funny. Oh no! Oh no!
Is that you?
It's me!
Is that you? But you're not a gay man.
No. This just came, we in the intro, which while you were on stage singing, we were talking about a date she had, and She met up with this guy four times and they just made out every
four
time.
Times.
Three times. Three in 2 days though, because he lives in L.A.
So, and that means you should be fucking on the first date.
They made out a few times, and then like I jokingly said he's probably gay. And then she said, you
"What
know,
does he do for work?"
He works in film production. He is.
What?
Film production. There's not two syllables in film. I know
my friend Bob the drag queen has a great joke. He went, now I know it's not Ireland, but he was in Scotland, just talking about differences of accents, and he has a joke where he's like, I swear to God I couldn't understand what they're saying. He's like, I asked this guy, I said, what's your name? And he goes bagel. Is bagel? He's like, bagel. He's like, yes, spell it. M-I-C-H-A-E-L. He goes, Michael bagel.
That's great.
Well, how often are you talking to this guy?
Oh, we just met this weekend, and then we just ended up spending the whole time together. But he's very, he's a gentleman, and he probably just knows that I kind of give off kind of good girl energy, so he's probably letting me lead it.
Good girl energy.
Really?
We're getting a lot of different energies in this podcast.
Yeah. I know. I
top
usually
don't... energy,
if he was,
energy.
If he was staying another
good
day.
Good girl energy.
I would have. But also, well, yeah. Well, you know, but he's not.
You know, a
he's
bad
gone.
Boy likes that good girl energy. Right,
I might see him in L.A.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah,
you should.
I think I'm going to be there in January.
That's the best part of being gay. I have like six boyfriends all around the world.
Oh, isn't it great? Well,
you know
I'm not
what I
mean?
Gay,
but I
mean. Like, it's not boyfriend. You know what I mean? But it's like.
But I mean, yeah, this is the first time that I was like, oh, I might have someone in a place.
There
where
you go.
I just go when I go see.
I got, let's see who. I got plenty in New York. I have.
Let me rip it back into focus zone here. How that started was, you're just talking to, I was talking to you about that sort of when you're young and you're sort of figuring that out.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that when you
porn.
Start? Yeah, porn, right?
Porn, and then, you know, you tell your girlfriends and then they will take you to a gay bar and then, you know, you slowly figure it out. You know, my first boyfriend, I was 22. I didn't even
did
know.
Did you come, had you, were you out?
Yeah, oh,
stage?
Yeah, yeah. I was out by 18, but I.
Oh, you told your family everything 18?
Told my family at 20.
What age did you know? Did you know it's men?
Now I'm gonna ask you this question. I'm gonna answer this question with a question.
Okay.
And I'm trying to, like to preface. I would like to say that I'm not trying to be insulting.
No, it's fine.
But I want to answer that question clearly so everyone knows what it feels like.
Yeah.
So ask me that question again.
No, and I know what you're gonna say, but my answer back is gonna be I'm not 100% sure if I'm straight.
Oh, great. You gotta do brunch. Yeah, because I would say, like, Des, like, when did you figure out you were straight?
Well, I didn't have to figure out I was straight.
There you go.
Yeah, so it's just, I guess, well, that's a question that people ask, but I always was just told, you know, you like boys or whatever, and it wasn't until I moved to New York City and people were like, oh, you can like both. I was like,
Have you experimented with women before?
I've only smooched. I haven't gone further.
Smooched? You're so nice.
But I might one day.
You should.
I fancy a girl who works in a bar here.
Makes you, if that's something you're interested in.
And it might not.
I know plenty of lesbians who would be interested in taking you out for a drink.
Aww, that'd be nice.
That's my lesbian voice.
Thanks. But yeah, but I guess, you know, it's still a question. Was there a point where people were always telling you, you know, because that's what people do when you're, especially our age, you're just brought up being presumed you're straight.
Right. And I mean, it makes sense. You know, I don't think my parents, they're not ignorant or anything, but they're also like, I think they were expecting two gay kids. My brother's gay also.
Oh, wow.
And I'm gay. And my cousin next door is gay. So there's just tons of gays in my family. But yeah, I knew forever. It's just a matter of like acceptance, putting it together. And now it's so easy. I have an old joke where I said, I saw a 7-year-old with purple hair talking to the human rights campaign being like, my struggle. I'm like, you piece of shit, go home and turn off the lights and listen to Madonna and cry like the rest of us. You son of a bitch. Which the joke behind that joke is, what I'm saying is, like, there was all of that. There was the confusion. There was the acceptance. Not all gay men, but me, I naturally was drawn towards more feminine things. I was drawn towards singing and, you know, Sailor Moon and Sleeping Beauty and pretty things and girls, like, and being their friends and stuff, and just like a certain way of acting. And it was just met with so much, like, and I understand, like, people try to push you in another direction because they're trying to protect you because they don't want you to get hurt, right? So, but in reality, I don't think they realize, like, that can fuck you up even more. So kids today, I mean, if you're 7 and you're like, I think I like boys, I mean, there's a parade for you. Yeah. So at my time,
when was the first time you heard the word gay? When was the first time you actually heard
asking my mom, and the thing I love about my parents, how honest they were. Like, I remember my sister said something about gay people, and I said, what's gay? My mom was like, it's when two men are together. And I said, well, how, you know, like, or was it, maybe it was a gay sex. And I was like, well, how do they have sex or something? And she was like, they have sex in their butt. And I remember thinking, like,
what?
Oh, I like that. Like that. I remember thinking,
oh,
like,
you were aware of thinking that's a nice thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But that's great. I mean, you were lucky with the parents.
Yeah, I come from, my mom had such a shit childhood. I think that, you know, by the time we came out, she was like, great. At least you're not. you're fine. That's fine. But yeah, it is hard to talk about, even as a comic. Like, I can make jokes about it, but like, and people have lots of questions about it. But to be honest with you, there's a part of me that doesn't have an easy time talking about it. It even laughing with me at it, still, it brings back too much painful memories of,
right,
like being in it. And so people have all these questions about my younger gay life, and I frankly don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it just doesn't, it wasn't a good time. So I usually don't talk about it. It's fun to talk about it when I came out, because at least there was like self-exploration and finding things and going to the city and meeting new people. And it was a cool moment. I felt like a whole weight had been lifted, and I had sort of like had this new world. Even though it was intimidating, I had a world that I could discover and find my own way, I guess. But, you know, when people talk about middle school, high school, I don't like talking about it.
Yeah.
I really put up a wall. I'm like, I'll try and change the subject as quickly as possible.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I guess you can understand people's curiosity because
they can't
understand what
sure.
it's like.
And is, you know, usually you make jokes and it helps heal it, but haven't quite gotten there yet with
that. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Certain jokes, but, you know, like when I worked at Michael's. But, yeah, not good times. I really brought this podcast down.
So no, I love
but
it.
But it's okay. Everybody can relate, because high school is actually hard for people.
I think it's hard for everybody.
Everybody.
For everybody.
In different situations.
Right. And I think it's good that it's better now. And you know what's cool is, like, I get messages on Instagram of 13-year-olds being like, I came out because I saw you on TV, or you're the first gay person I saw on TV.
But that's why I like talking about that time, too, because I feel like, even though I know it's tough for you and I would never push you to talk about it, when somebody hears it and they identify, then that's helpful,
right,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because that sense of not being alone.
I did a show, a Mexican TV show called Noches con Platanito, and I did it because I was in L.A., but also the producer was really curious about my Mexican heritage and my grandfather and all that stuff. So, but when I did the show, I was speaking about being gay, and the producer was like, well, it's not like, you know, it could be more conservative with Latino TV sometimes. This is what she said. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of Univision or Telemundo, but she was like,
but you say it so well.
Porque yo hablo español. But yeah, I was like, oh, okay. But when I did that show and I was so easily talking about being gay, making jokes, I got a couple messages from like you know, high school Mexican kids being like, it was cool to see you on TV and stuff. I actually follow this Italian comic. Being in Italy, being gay, is there's still like a thumb from the Vatican on people in Italy. It's not easy. Like in Spain,
even though the Vatican is literally like
they're all in dresses. Yeah, women, dresses.
It's like a fucking Sitges, you know. The fucking
yeah,
full
they're
of
the
gays.
Gayest. They're the biggest gays. Quickly, more dick. But there's a comic out there. I should look him up. We're going to meet up in, I forget his name, but we're going to meet up when I go to Rome and get coffee because he's a gay comic and he's doing jokes and they're all in Italian. But it's amazing. That is true progress to watch like a openly gay man talk about being openly gay and having really funny jokes in Italy. It's
yeah,
like
we're such
amazing.
A macho culture.
Yeah. Well,
even though I feel
in
like,
Gucci.
Yeah, I feel like their machismo has always had a touch of gay about it.
Very, a touch
very,
of gay.
Very
talk about like dunked in gay.
Well, I gotta be safe. I gotta say a touch of gay.
Well, I think Italians, you know, they just look in Western culture, American men typically it's like they all look like shit. You know, so when they see a man who wears pants that actually fit, they're like, faggot.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I think they're just wearing pants that fit.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot.
But that's changing a bit, right?
I think it's changing a lot. We also live in New York, so you can't judge the rest of the country.
Well, I don't
want to
keep you
Manhattan.
Too long.
I'm willing to talk as long as you want.
No, I know, but I just want to have a bit of fun.
Okay.
A bit of lighthearted fun.
Sure. I know, I really brought it down.
No,
I told you, talk about
hey,
we've had really sad episodes.
Really? Okay,
Mateo,
good. So this
you're
is
not
nothing.
It down.
Yeah.
You're
I'm sprinkling it with jokes.
Actually, you're really fitting in the team.
Oh, good.
We've had a few criers.
Oh, well, I'm in a car outside of a jazz club. You're not going to catch me crying.
I nearly cried once, but I held it in. Des nearly cried.
That's very Catholic of you. That's very Irish of you.
Yeah.
That's the difference between the Irish and the Italians. That, you know, I feel like the Irish, everything is a little held in.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are a fun culture, drinking and then
the Irish cry when nobody's
music
looking.
The
Italians won't cry unless everyone's looking.
Yeah, I cried.
That's exactly right.
That's kind of a difference.
Yeah, what is your judgment on Italians versus the Irish?
Oh, well, so we had an au pair who's an Italian. She was the same age as me, but I was living in New York, so she was back with the kids. And when I would come home, she very expressive and excited and angry and all the emotions full force. Yeah. Loves you but hates you. And oh, and she was great. She taught me how to do like makeup-y stuff and her boyfriend, yeah, very attractive, but yeah, very feminine looking. Yeah, yeah. Dressed well, fitted jeans. Hair
I do
nice.
Love that about Italian. Like I love that I grew up in that kind of home where like I always make a joke, you know, they like send kids like a little early to preschool sometimes so that they socialize them. Mm. I overthink they need a class to like desocialize Italians a little bit.
Too cocky.
We come way too socialized, like touching. We're friends with everyone, emotions, screaming. I mean, it's like, it's,
well, when I was growing up in Queens, it always used to drive me nuts because the Italian, like once we became, you know, when we got to the age where suddenly we were like interested in each other, the Italians were so comfortable and they were like kissing girls, you know, hello, and the kissing hello. And I would just be like, I couldn't do it for so long. I was so late to being able to kiss hello. So the joke I used to say in the show was that, you know, the Italians, they fucking hit puberty so early. They were so confident so early.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
They were the first ones to grow. Now they would never grow from that day on, but they never lose the confidence of being the fucking first.
Italians do have a lot of confidence, and we always do things way too early. Like, I was drinking a little bit of wine when I was, like, 7.
Wow.
My dad would be like, here's some wine. I'm like, I don't think I should be drinking this.
Oh, but it's so good.
I'm sorry, Des. Let's make it lighthearted.
No, come on. I
just joking. Questions.
So you know, because it's a sex podcast. So do you think a gay guy has, like, special tips, like blowjob tips? Because you're giving and receiving. Do you think you have extra advice you can give to our listeners?
Well, yeah. Why don't we...
Or just some of your special...
Maybe ask something specific and then I can answer. Like, do you have questions about... Is there anything I can help you with?
I don't like deep throating. I can't
well,
do
like
it.
Like when a guy's like trying
and to
deep
try
throat
to
fuck you.
And then shove it in. And I'm like, no. Oh,
well, then we can't relate.
This is why I'm single. Like, I get the dick down too far.
I think everything has to think of it as like a song. There has to be kind of a crescendo. So I think a lot of mistakes that people make is when they go for a blowjob, they go in really hard at first. Then there's nowhere to build from there. Build this up. You know, think of it as like think of any Mariah Carey song starts at a 0 and ends at a 10. So that's how you think of a blowjob.
So thanks to Mateo for giving us some time. It was quite stressful, to be honest, trying to organize all that because everything kept getting delayed in the Comedy Cellar.
And, you know, I was worried about my own set and Katie was worried about her spot. So, you know, it was like an energy of stress sort of, you know, hanging around the podcast. So I was delighted that we were able to get it done. I don't like being so tight for time, but it was just that I only got back on Saturday, and so this was kind of the first time everybody had a chance to get together. And I prefer, you know, being with Katie rather than on the phone. Like, for example, we hadn't done an outro because I wanted to do the chat first so that we knew what we were sort of coming out of. I didn't want to make it up, make assumptions about the chat we were going to have because we had time before, but I didn't want to do the outro before. But like, we had no time at all to do the outro. Katie had to leave. And so now I'm just here this morning. And already we're late. I mean, it's only 8 o'clock in the morning, New York time, but this is not going to be going up. It's probably going to go up at 2 p.m. Irish time, which is way later than normal. But normally I get it up at midnight, but I didn't get home till 12:30. And, you know, I was like, you know, I was just so passing out with the tiredness, you know? So, you know, because I'm, as I said, I'm only 2 days in, but I thought it was fun. I feel like it was condensed, but it was fun. It was like a fun energy. And Mateo is so, you know, he's just a character, you know, like his whole life is a performance, but not in a fake way. Not like, I don't think he's like a phony. I just think that like, he's always on, you know, which I like. And you know, I liked also that he was honest about that. He's not, you know, totally comfortable talking about that, you know, that time in his life of sort of coming to terms with, you know, people's judgments and his own, you know, comfortability and finally coming out. I like that. I like the honesty of him not being 100% comfortable. You know, and obviously there's a part of me that would like to, you know, delve into that more, in that we, like, I think we all have our, you know, we all have our things that hurt us in our lives. And I would have been curious to, but I also didn't want to pry, especially because I feel like, because I don't understand what it's like to, you know, have to, you know, I, like he said, when he pointed out that I never had to, you know, I never had to say I'm straight because straight is the quote unquote assumed norm. And anything outside of that is not the norm, quote unquote. That I never had to sort of come to terms with any of that. So I feel like really it's not my place to pry too much. Certainly not at this stage in my life, because I'm actually not that familiar with the emotions that gay women go through, sort of just trying to find their place in the world. So I just didn't feel like it was my place to pry too much. But I was happy enough that we got a tiny little insight into that, you know, discomfort. And I, you know, I like the honesty. You know, I think sometimes people, including myself actually, like to put across this sense that they're on top of everything or they understand everything and they get why they are the way they are, and that any obstacle that they've overcome, they're completely over it and have become a better person. But you know, sometimes you remain confused, and also sometimes you just, you know, there's the right time to be open and there's the right time to not be open. And sometimes fucking talking to, you know, like obviously I'm friends with Mateo, but talking to the people that listen, you know, you, the listener, a bunch of strangers, sometimes people feel like it's not the place to share their wares, you know, and then, and that's fine too, which, you know, I'm very cool with. Anyway, that's it really. It's, I'm in New York until the 29th of December. So, Katie and I, well, actually next week, I'm in America. Actually next week, I'm in fucking Vegas, but actually I might try to sneak. Oh, I might have to call Katie and try to sneak an episode in tomorrow if we can, because I prefer to do it when we're together. And then, what else have we got? Well, as you know, the Mia Mama show is on sale. Oh yeah. I was on the late. I hope you guys watched. It went pretty well. I thought, you know, a fine mix of pathos and comedy. And so there was a good reaction to that. So if you want to come see Mia Mama, that's kind of the vibe, really. More on the comedy side than the pathos, but you know, I didn't want to seem, I didn't want to be completely flippant about my mom's death on the TV, you know? I think that that wouldn't be a fair reflection of the experience that I've had. You know, everything is not a joke. So I was, I tried to be open a little bit about the grief. So do come check out Mia Mama. Check out Katie Boyle at Katie Boyle Comic. Check out Mateo Lane. Oh, shite. I should have checked. Let me just double check now. While you're on the, while you're there, let me just double check Mateo's Insta, because it's not fair that he would not get a proper plug. Mateo's Instagram. Yeah, it's just at Mateo Lane, M-A-T-T-E-O-L-A-N-E, M-A-T-T-E-O-L-A-N-E, Mateo Lane. Add him on Insta. Tell everybody, tell him how great he was and how funny he is. And he's quite ripped if you want to gawk over his physique. That's the other reason why you should go on his Instagram. And then that's it. Mine's at Des Bishop, obviously. And we'll talk to you next week. If anyone happens to be in Vegas next week, I'm in Vegas all week. So do check out the Comedy Cellar Vegas. And then I'll be in New York over the holidays. If anybody's in New York for the holidays, I'll be doing the Comedy Cellar every night. All right, guys. We'll chat to you next week. And because I have no idea what the episode's going to be. Ciao.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.